اللهم صل على رسولك. One of the salient features of our elders was the istihzar, presence of the mind, focused on the goal. As the Jama'at in Abu Hassan said, the last Amir of the Tabligh Jama'at, he was at an istima in Hyderabad, and people, because of love and respect, they roll out a special carpet for him. Now look at the mind, the presence of the mind. What was the state of the mind at that time? So he says, if for a second I think I am eligible for this treatment, then that's my destruction. But see now, perhaps you are sharing the right mindset. What should your mindset be like? So at any given time, the mind is focused. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu is discussing some matter with Umar radiyallahu anhu. And sometimes in a discussion, when you're over-friendly, then you may just say something. It may not be the most appropriate thing. So, Umar radiyallahu anhu got upset, something was said. That bond is very great, but now in that friendship, say something. So straight away ask for a maaf. See that focus, istihzar. Now Umar is upset, so he couldn't offer the maaf straight away. Went home, locked the door. And he doesn't want to take the call of Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu. And now look at the presence of the mind of the man. Now he says, the only recourse I got now is to go to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he will intercede on my behalf. That's what he did. But now if you look at the story from a different perspective, that means the presence of his mind of the hisab of the akhirat. It can come now. Akhirat can commence now. And am I in a state of preparedness and readiness? So he's not delaying it for a second. And straight to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Inna sahibakum aghamar. He got into some trouble. Anyway, that was sorted out. But the presence of the mind. Azajima Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So, he had to go to Egypt, whatever the reason was. And one of his murids was Mawlana Ismail Abdul Razak of Ladysmith. Many of you may have seen him, right? So he was at that time lecturing in the varsity, the Al-Azhar, whatever department, Zul, whatever it was. But he was lecturing. So, Hazraji had to give a bayan in the hall, the auditorium, and he had to give a bayan there. So in the course of his talk, Azadi mentioned some things. What was the exact thing that he mentioned, I can't remember now. But he mentioned something. And like the university, Mahol environment, when they give you an applause, they'll give a clap. I look at the presence of the mind, Azadi. So Azadji said, At-tasfiqu lil-nisa wa at-tasbihu lil-rijal. So men, they say tasbih, subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, when they hear something great, like we hear someone reading Qirat and he did well, so we say Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. But clapping, that's for men, for women, not for men. But now look at that. Now he's in an auditorium with thousands of students sitting there. And when they did that, it was an applaud, as though they were complimenting. But now straight away, his presence of mind of the hadith and the teaching of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is not right. What is supposed to be done? At-tasfihu li-rijal wa at-tasfihu ni-nisa. And the strange thing was that Barakat of Hazrati permeated the entire crowd, and they all said Allahu Akbar. And the stranger thing was, the professors were there in the talk. They said that this hadith didn't cross our mind up to that point. That was the time when the hadith crossed our minds. So the work of an alim is different. And the work of a non-alim is different. Non-alim will not know all these details. He may know some things, but the details are not before him. But the goodness of the students at that time, perhaps it was the 70s somewhere, was they did not object. They did not say, now, for example, like what the modern man will do, you know, we just meant to give him a compliment. This is how we're showing our regards, give him an applaud. We didn't mean to imitate woman or the Nasara. They didn't make a story for them. Straight, they said, Allahu Akbar or Subhanallah, whatever they said. So this presence of the mind, see, of the goal, the destination, where we are off to, that's coming off the mind. See. So what our minds are overwhelmed with, the thing that's overwhelming the mind is this dunya. What I made and how much I've got, and what's my plans, and what's the new investment, and the car must be now traded in, it's outdated. So that's the thing that's overwhelming the mind. And can I get a better job opportunity? I've got some wealth, what should I be doing? And I've got a wedding on, and how much I plan for it, what must I spend for it? So these are things that are overwhelming the mind. But what is supposed to be overwhelming the mind is that life. La aisha illa aishul akhirah. The life beyond. That is supposed to be overwhelming the mind at any given time. Ja'al al-humuma hamman wahida amma akhirati. He made the concern of the akhirat the real, he made it the real concern. I think, but by the way, did it. But the real concern was the life beyond. Right. You're going for a meeting, so say the meeting is about 5 hours, right? So the actual figure is the meeting. Perhaps in between they may give a meal, or you have to go to the toilet. So you're not, all your mind is not on the food or on the toilet, right? Now see, all the time your mind is on the food and the toilet, then what will be your contribution to the meeting? See, what's on for lunch? At what time? And will the food be hot? And what are the varieties? Who's going to be doing the meals? You're going to spoil the whole thing. So this whole life becomes spoiled when our minds are embroiled in these things here. What's going to eat tomorrow or today? And what's the itinerary for tomorrow? The holidays are coming up. I'll be planning for it in 3 months in advance. We've got enough money to spend for the holidays. We've seen the cabanas, what's the next destination? And we spoiled it here. How do we prove it for the next time? So now, that was supposed to be the akhirat. All right, we didn't do this namaz right. How do we do the next namaz? The Ramadan, we didn't do it like how we're supposed to be doing it. So this is where the weak points are. Now, how can I improve on the Ramadan? My roza, I spoiled it because perhaps I got engaged in some ghibat or some layani and things that didn't concern me, I put my mind onto that. But at the same time, if I could have just come earlier to the masjid, I could have made another khatam for the month of Ramadan and non-hafiz, I would have made a new khatam for the month of Ramadan. But now, unfortunately, I didn't program my time correctly. I lost out, and the whole Ramadan is lost out. As the Shaykh was such, it's Ramadan, so his friends would come and see him. And they would say, we don't know what has happened to this man here. He's got such a, you know, the Ramadan has taken him as a Heiza, you know. Heiza is like a virus, you know, that it's taken you completely. So that Ramadan has taken him completely. He can't chit-chat with his friends, nothing. Only a few moments at the time of iftar, he's just drinking his kahwa or something. Sulaimani tea is taking. Something important has to be discussed at that time. Otherwise, so they're looking after every moment, every second is being preserved, calculated, understood, appreciated. Right? Now we hear these people and we like the stories, but then do we take stock, all right, of reading the story? This is just we're going through a phase. Is it just a customary thing, or is it for us now to reflect, all right? We need to also get to the akhirat. We need to also improve our next life. Are we doing something for that? So now we are at the doorstep of Ramadan, right? And what preparations? They would say that, you know, they prepare for Ramadan, Allah, 6-7 months in advance, not in Rajab and Shawwal. 7-8 months in advance, some would prepare for Ramadan immediately after the day of Eid. Eid, one day we rejoiced, and now we need to prepare for the next Ramadan. How can we improve? What can we do? What should we be doing so that the entire year goes well? So they understood the value of Ramadan, so they prepared themselves. Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi used to do 60 khatams. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi, if I understand correctly, he would do at least about 15 khatams in the month of Ramadan, at least, or even more. But now all of them, they valued the time too much. Rai Puri sahab rahmatullahi, he would tell his friends and reads and all that, as Ramadan is about to start, see now, Assalamu alaikum. Now our casual mulaqat will be after Ramadan. Leave that for after Ramadan. Now is the time for work. Let's get into business. Let's chip-chop properly. So that we won't say on the 27th or 29th night, hey, I wasted my time. I don't have any remorse after that. Otherwise, now every year, yeah, I didn't do it. I didn't do it like how I was supposed to be doing it, right? Every year, the same story is being repeated without any improvement. Are we bluffing ourselves or are we being honest to ourselves? How do we do it? So that presence of mind, see, this istihzar, that's the thing that we need. Now, we're living in a Western society, we don't realize that our minds get drowned in that Western. The whole Western concept is, just go on increasing. This is the business this year, next year, what you're projecting for. This is your shortfalls, this is what you're supposed to be doing next year. So every year is just about improving the lifestyle. So your holidays now, what's your holiday going to be like? So we're caught up in this Western lifestyle and we don't realize that we're becoming victims to it. Man ja'ala al-humuma hamman wahida. His greater concern was the akhirat, greatest concern. Everything else is by the way. You're going to a meeting, chai is by the way, right? Or toilet is by the way. You know what else? Before the meeting, ask that chai is going to be like Mufti Shu'aib's chai, or how is it going to be? What's going to flavor going to be? Is it cappuccino or the real coffee, the strong coffee? What is it going to be? And what's going to be the chai and what's going to be the why? You know? You don't want to ask all that. You're going for a purpose. You're going for a business. And your greater concern, I must get this business done. It may be that you have put my mind together, think right. This meeting that I came for, it may be just a $1 million venture. But that needs me to put my mind to it. I put my mind, understood, did the feasibility, check and balance, everything I did. Now, I made a go of it. I made something out of it. So, the difference between these ventures and the venture of the hereafter is, this life, it was wasted, right? Say one, 2 moments, you didn't do like you're supposed to be doing in the business. You can still recoup it. But the opportunity there is once, and then you can't recoup. Finish, gone. But for the namaz you read today, can't be repeated. Zuhar namaz, time is finished. The jamaat you read in Asr namaz, you can't do it again. Gone is gone. So that's the lesson that this life is teaching you. It is just one opportunity and not to be repeated. And that opportunity has to be respected and appreciated for your onward comfort and security. See, days will pass, weeks will pass, months will pass, and we don't discuss Qiyamah, we don't discuss Maut, we don't discuss Akhirat, we don't go and visit the Qabristan, or if you're going, it's just as a ritual. We're not putting our hearts and our minds to it. It happened to him, he was sick, or he didn't take care of himself, he's gone. That's the most built thing. Right? So this can't happen to me, it happened to others. Right? So, where the mind's supposed to be, and the way we're supposed to be reasoning, we're not doing it. Until, Hatta إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَكُمْ الْمَوْتِ قُلْ رَبِّ لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي. Now when the time comes, then you say, Allah, just give me a few moments. I'll just sort everything out. So now that's gone. وَلَنْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ. Then once that time strikes, then you don't get 1 second. لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَ وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُ. But 1 second before the time, and not 1 second after the time. So now all this is teaching you, appreciate the time. That's what it's teaching you, right? Appreciate time. See, there are different names for Qiyamah. One name is Yomul Jama, where all mankind will be assembled on one plane. La tara fiha iwaja wala amta. So you won't see any landmarks. You know, landmark, you can at least identify where you are. Landmark, right? And you won't find any deviation, no inclination, no decline. Nothing. So a deep decline and an inclination or something, right? You can at least duck, hide away. But everybody is one single plane, can you duck anyway? La tasma'u illa fiha illa hamsa. And it will be such a tense day that you'll only hear the footsteps, you know, the sound of footsteps, hamsa. Just the sound of the footsteps, nothing else. They gripped in such a high level of fear. La tasma'u fiha illa hamsa. So, there's no landmarks, there's no decline, no incline, no way to hide, and the whole ummah is there. From the time of Adam al-Islam right to the last day, everybody is there. Whether it's you, your grandfather, your grandchild, your son-in-law, daughter-in-law, everybody is there. Nobody is left out. So if it's a thing of honor and praise, then what a day of cheer will that be? See, my honor, etc., has come to the form this day. But if it's a day of disgrace, oh, this chacha, this is what he's been doing. So in front of your son, your granddaughter, everybody is watching what's happened. Yeah, our father did this, but we didn't know he was such a bajia of a person. We didn't know. See, that it's coming in front of everybody. Yomul Jam'i. That's called the day of assembly. It's called Yomul Taghabun. Taghabun will translate har and harjit. Loss and gain. Harjit means loss and gain. So you're going to see who lost today and who won. In this world, there may be a class of people that will tell you that you're backwards, you're too rigid, you're too rough and a lot of tashaddud, right? But that day, you will see the truth. Who was strong, who was firm, who was focused, who had the presence of mind, and who was ghafil, who was unmindful. That's the day to see. This is not the day to make all these type of statements. This type of statements is there. It will be seen. يوم الجمع يوم التغابن, right? And the other name of the Qiyamah is يوم الحسرة, the day of remorse. Because now you're seeing this person here, he appreciated his time. Right? When he appreciated his time, no chit-chat, no unnecessary talk. Right? Sometimes friends or the family will cheer up a little bit, light-hearted, just to bring up the spirits. Right? No doubt, hours are going, just chit-chatting, idar-udar ki baat, and no zikrullah. Right? So much of joke and fun, but no remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. So hours are going, days are going, and in that mood, right? Now is a time for reward. Right? Now is a time for remuneration. Now is a time for retribution. Right? That is why you call it Yawmuddin. What is Yawmuddin? Yawmuddin, Deen means this different meaning, right? One is what we know of Deen. But Deen, the other meaning is kama tadanu kama tadinu tudan. How you do, will you be rewarded? What you do, din nahum kama danu. We punish them like they are wrong. According to how they are wrong, we fix them up. Din nahum kama danu. This is the thing that we have just forgotten. So Allah constantly reminds us, اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ وَهُمْ فِي غَفْتَةٍ مُعْرِدُونَ. The day of accountability has approached, not approaching, has approached already. And you still, in your state of unmindfulness, اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ وَهُمْ فِي غَفْتَةٍ مُعْرِدُونَ. Can you see that? See how Allah says, the time has come already. And you're still unmindful, you're still so forgetful. Partying, lavishing, running around. Ma Idris of Kandrabi says, Iqtaraba is not Qaruba, it's Iqtaraba. Iqtaraba has got an additional meaning. Says that the meaning is, it's come very close. Not just close, but it's come very close. Iqtaraba. So it's lingering over your head. It's hovering over your head. And you're still playing around. In Surah Kahf, أَمَّا الْجِدَارُ فَكَانَ الْغُلَامَيْنِ يَتِيمَيْنِ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ. Right? So, though the townspeople were supposed to show some hospitality, that's the standard, and that day was the standard, but they refused to show that hospitality. Yet Khizr al-Islam erected the wall. And then he expressed what was the secret, what was the mystery behind this, and he expressed it later on to Musa al-Islam. So it was the treasure of these two yatims, right? وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. Their father was a righteous man. So in consideration of the piety of the father, we saved the children's wealth. Ask Khizr al-Islam to just keep the wall straight so nobody can access the treasure. تَيَبْلُغَ أَشُدَّ. Until they come of age and they can unearth it themselves. So the Ulama Ikram explained that many a times you are blessed because of the piety of your elder. See this here. This yatim children were blessed because of the kana abuhuma saliha. The parents were good. So in consideration of the righteousness of the parents, Allah Ta'ala protected this children's future. You see that? In Bukhari Sharif and Abu Dawud Sharif, you get the hadith with Al-Kab Ahbar, right? Rahmatullah Ali. So Umar is asking Kab Ahbar, Do you find me in record in your scriptures? He said, yes. Like what? Like a fortress. It's an empty hadith. Like a fortress. Why? Because Umar is such a strong person that Shaitan also runs away. He's so strong, right? Shaitan also escaped, can't come. So as though he was now the blockage to fitnas, what? All the fitnas can't enter because of the presence of this man. Can you see now, the man's piety and righteousness, it blocks a lot of problems. And when it goes then after that nobody can close that. See, the fortress is broken now. Now it will go on, the fitna and the trouble will just flow on. So the presence of a pious person, don't underestimate it and don't disregard it. Can you see that? Allah Ta'ala is making a consideration to the yatim children on account of the righteousness of their father. Kana abuhuma saliha. Right. So, the father had left some wealth for these children, some gold. But on that gold was inscribed, for seven, eight lines were inscribed, starting off with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Then right. Going on, some of the points that I remember, right? One was, I'm surprised about the person who knows that there is a thing like taqdeer, right? And yet he's toiling so hard for money. He's toiling so hard, but he knows he's not going to get anything more than what was destined and nothing less. He'll get exactly what was destined, but he's toiling so hard. And I'm also surprised at that person who knows that, who sees the fluctuations in life, you know. Someone is coming up and someone is going down. Sees all these things here. Someone is dying, someone is born. Someone is gaining health, someone is losing health. You can see all the fluctuations. But he's so complacent. He's not being moved. He's seeing all these changes in life, but he is not disturbed at all. Then again, the next line says, I'm surprised about the person who knows that death is a reality, but he's so relaxed. He knows that death is a reality, but he's so relaxed. So this Iqdarab al-Nas Hisab, Allah is reminding you that that hour is approached already. The last line was, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this verse is coming up again and again. Iqtarabati sa'atu, iqtaraba lin-nasi hisabum. And I explain why Idris al tarjuma says bahut qareeb aa gaya. So there is a thing like an individual end and there is a thing like a collective end. An individual end is called maut. And a collective end is called Qiyamah. It's a difference. Individual and mass. So individual is called Maut. So now, Maut, how close it is? It's very close. You don't know. Next step, what's going to happen? Nobody knows. But fi ghaflati, still in ghaflat, still unmindful, still not identifying, relating to your goal. Right? مَا يَعْتِيهِمْ مِنْ ذِكْرِمْ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ مُحْدَثِينَ إِلَّا اسْتَمَعُوا وَهُمْ يَلْعَبُونَ They go on hearing the words of Allah Ta'ala. Fresh revelations are coming. They listen to it and they're not, they're disconcerned. Unconcerned. Is that the case with us or not? Now just explaining. One is we hear the words of Allah Ta'ala and we hear the words of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Or we come across them, we read them. That's great, we need to do it, right? But equally or more important is to acquire the real flavor and the taste. Right. Like now, someone has accepted Islam, right? He's got some literature, he's reading Tarjim, all that. But will he have the right ethos, Islamic ethos? So unless and until you don't have the right association, you can't understand the Islamic flavor and the ethos. You can't understand it. I know some many years ago, so there's a white woman accepted Islam. I won't tell the whole story now. Just this side. Right? So she objected on the Fazail Kitabs. Now, she accepted Islam and she was in 6 months in some Arab country. So she read some literature, etc. And now straight away now she's an expert in Arabic. And now when she became an expert in Arabic, now she says the Fazail Kitabs and the Hadith are questionable, but doubtful. So she phoned up and now this rumor is going around. The Tabligh aunties are not so, they don't know the Arabic language, but they're doing everything, they got the flavor, but they don't understand these things here. So I took off with her on the phone. I said, tell me exactly what is the definition of Zaif. Tell me. And how, where should you apply that and where shouldn't you apply it? Tell me. And where are you getting your source from? Now this, you got stumped, not finished. What is Zaif? What is the definition? Where you got your source from? How to apply it and where you can't apply it? Now when I asked them, so the Tabligh aunties all got a little bit relaxed now. Someone came to their defense. So just going through the literature is not sufficient grounds for you to make a statement. We don't want to, remember, the best is over, and you become a Grand Mufti. Is that right, I said? Can't do all these things here. You need that association. Association, understand the ethos, how it works, how, what was the life of the pious predecessors, how they lived, what was parda like, how women lived in their homes, and were they doing like fiancé things and all that, and premarital things and all that. Understand all that life, then you have understood the ethos. Then you got some flavor. I won't say you got complete flavor, you got some of the flavor of Islam. But you didn't see this, you didn't do all these things here, and you jumped to conclusions. I say, is that right? You just got the wording. The father is on the last lap, so he's advising his child. You see, the child is a little bit 2 cents short, right? So he says to his child, you see, when I'm gone, what you must do is, people come to offer their condolence, etc. So the most expensive meat you got, slaughter it and give it to them. And when they come to you, just talk to them in soft and sweet words. It's a long story, but I'm just cutting it short. So now the father died. People are coming, because he's a prominent person, so they come to offer condolence. So every second word is saying, honey, or rui, or cushion, you know. Hey, you're getting stunned now. What's going on here? Rui or shahad. Honey and cushion. So I came to meal time. Man is finding difficulty to chew the meat. Chewing for 5 minutes. Can't get it down. Hey, is something, I don't think this thing is cooked well. Hey, what are you complaining about? You know, the most expensive animal I had was my dog. I slaughtered that thing. And you complain, what's wrong with you? But now you see, the father's advice, but did he understand the thing? The, until and unless you don't have the right association, you don't mix up, you can't get that flavor. Can't. The father said, you know, soft and sweet. So soft and sweet, the sweetest thing he knew was honey, and the softest thing he knew was cushion. But now you see, you don't acquire the taste, the flavor, you can't. So you definitely require an association with the right people, right-minded, right-thinking. All that, then you get some type of a flavor. Then there's a flavor in your Islam. There's a taste, there's a sweetness in what you are doing. But you didn't acquire this. You just got a little bit of book knowledge, self-studies, online studies, and now you want this to happen. How is it going to happen? So you may have a lot of information, but you don't know exactly how to use it, how to apply it and how to use it. You don't know. Why it's online? No, I studied. I got online. Why? That comes with association. The Islam, Bukhari says, got al-ilmu bit-ta'allum. What? Knowledge comes gradually with gradual stages of learning. Learned, Today you learn something, tomorrow Ustad taught you something, you took it, you digested it, the third day, so forth and so on. But now you're online and you want the whole thing to come to you straight away. Then that's a major, major mistake. Major mistake. You won't get the thing. It has to go in this sequence. Otherwise, you'll do everything. You'll be running in the road. A lot of things you'll be doing. Right? And thinking that you have got Islam. وَجَدْتَ شَيْئًا وَفَاتَتْ أَنْكَ الْأَشْيَاءَ. You got one thing, but the bigger picture you have lost. Small thing you got, but the main picture you have totally lost. وَجَدْتَ شَيْئًا وَفَاتَتْ أَنْكَ الْأَشْيَاءَ. A lot of things you have missed out. Why? You wanted to do it yourself, capture it, and grasp it of your own. And why you didn't get it? Because you didn't have that humility to go and find out from someone. Find out, understand, associate. You didn't have that level of humility. And when you didn't have that level of humility, so you couldn't humble yourself. You know, see that first surah that is revealed, is talking about humility, right? عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ. Then, كَلَّا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى أَرَّآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. But man, تَغَى means like you overstep the mark. You know, we say nowadays, overstep the mark. In different words, people say, like, keep to your lane means don't overstep the mark. That's what it means, right? Don't exceed the limit. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى أَرَّآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. So, where he overstepped the mark, where he felt that he's too much, he's too big, and nobody must come and guide him and correct him. So that's the point where he went off. So that element of humility wasn't in him, so he couldn't accept the correction. When he couldn't accept the correction, then he exceeded the mark. He felt, no, I know it all, I don't need to refer, I don't need association, I don't need someone to come and supervise me, I know it. See? So we're talking about this Qiyamah, right? I said, يوم التغابن, يوم الحسرة, a day of regrets, a day of remorse. So for the kafir, right, how it will pan out on the day of Qiyamah, how it will work out, right? So there are those that are crossing the sirat at the speed of a lightning. Kalbaraq, right? You know, a lightning, the speed that it moves on, right? You see the horizon. In a second, it's going thousands of kilometers. Just 1 second. Flash. And from here, it's gone right that side. So fast, right? In a flash of a lightning, you're going to Jannah. Allah Pak, make it for us. Be worthy of this light. But Allah is worthy of all kindness. He is worthy of kindness. But we are totally unworthy. But if he wants to gap us through, can anybody stop? La mani ali ma atit. What you want to give Allah Pak, nobody can stop it. Allah Pak, make it for us. And then the second category, kal ajawid. They are crossing, but like fast mounts, you know, very fast mounts. All right, they're still taking some time, but they're reaching. Then the third category is a little bit dangerous. They're struggling. Because khalatu amalan saliha wa akhara sayya. They mixed it up. When they mix it up now, out there they're having a little bit of struggle, but eventually they're reaching. But the fourth category, they're falling down into the fire, because Sirat, and under the Sirat is Jahannam, and they're falling down. But anyway, they're in Islam, so they serve the sentence, however long it takes, 1,000 years, whatever, then they come out of it. But this is now one phase. Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will you remember us on the day of Qiyamah? See, this picture of Qiyamah and Akhirat, Jannah, Jannah was so vivid in there. So therefore, lives were aligned. Now we don't want to talk about death, we don't talk about the Qabr, we don't talk about Qiyamah, we don't talk about the hereafter. Only now, how much you made, and how much you're going to make, what's your projection for the next year? See? You have to wake up now, do something. You know, life is a reality, you have to wake up. Can't go and do the stories here. So that's the story that's been given, right? That's a story that you're relating to. So Aisha is asking, the concern there is different. The concern is, will you remember us on the day of Qiyamah? So Rabbi Sam is telling her, at three occasions, nobody's for nobody. Nobody for anybody. One is the Sirat, until you cross over. One is the books of deeds, until you know you're getting on the right or the left. And the third, at the Mizan, at the scales, nobody for anybody. Everybody's for himself. Then at the scales, you're getting a situation. Jibreel alayhi salam is at the scales. And as the deed is being weighed, so Jibreel alayhi salam will announce, now imagine, Yawmul Jama'ah, the whole world is assembled. Father, grandfather, children, grandchildren, brother-in-law, sister-in-law, everybody is there. You know, everybody is there. And Jibreel alayhi salam will see the record and he'll say, so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, he got his book on the right hand, I was going to Jannah. And then the opposite is also true. So-and-so, the son of so-and-so, and his book of deeds in the left hand, off to Jahannam. See that. Now, as everybody has taken their places, Jannatis and Jahannamis, all have taken their places. When they've taken their places, then Allah Ta'ala will call out, Ya Ahl al-Jannah wa Ya Ahl al-Nar. Allah Ta'ala is calling out the Jannatis, is calling out the Jahannamis. The Jahannamis will be really, really anxious and excited. They'll think to themselves, you know, there was that group who served the sentence and they were bailed out. Perhaps Allah Ta'ala reconsidered the whole thing. They'll be full of anxiety. That now Allah Ta'ala made a reconsideration for us, that perhaps we'll be called and sent to Jannah. And while this whole thing is panned out, then Allah Ta'ala will call death. Death will appear in the form of a black and white sheep. Right? And then he'll slaughter death. Right? And then he'll call out to the people of Jannah, Khalidin Abad al-Abidin. I think it's a riwayat of Tirmidhi, right? Khalidin Abad al-Abidin. You're in Jannah and forever. You are in Jannah and forever. That's why I say, we need to understand that we are not in a Muslim environment. In a kafir environment, we can't take their books to hearts. Can't take. Because I know in school, right, when they teach you a reader, so the reader goes like this, and they lived happily ever after. That happily ever after is Jannah. Here, show me one person that doesn't go to some trial, big trial, small trial, today dentist, tomorrow optician, then urologist, and then cardiologist, and this problem, and someone passed away, and someone is in hospital, right? So every day is bringing out some problem. If not that, then there's some family dispute. Not that, then there's a dispute on the inheritance, right? So something is carrying on, some problem or the other, some fight is carrying on. So that happily ever after is there in the hereafter. Now the reason for the depression, I understand, or despondency is, you wanted to see that happily ever after in this world. But the design of the world is that you must go through some distress. Some problem you must go through. Now, when the distress comes, then you are worried. Now, you know, we are reading the storybook, happily ever after. Why is this problem coming to me? See, so that distress is coming because your mind was not right. Your mind was not programmed right. It went off. And in the formative years, it went off. So this was your dream. And when you didn't see your dream materializing, now you went into a depression. So the education is taking you to depression or to despondency. So you can't take them serious. You just treat them, literally you treat them like shaitans. Because the shaitan has got two duties. What? He's got two duties. Yasudduna an sabilillah, to divert people from the right. What? That's one work of shaitan, to turn them, to distract them. So you'll see now, a person can park outside the masjid for a long time, but to come slightly earlier to the masjid, he can't do it. Hey, what am I going to do in the masjid now? You know, park there and do what? So you can sit outside, and now it's even worse. Now the shaitani conspiracies have become even worse. Though كَيْدَ الشَّيْطَانِ كَانَ ضَعِيفًا, his conspiracy is very weak. But now we have come under the spell so badly that in the house of Allah Ta'ala, right, in the house of Allah Ta'ala, we've been distracted. Is it a fact or not? You're sitting in the house of Allah Ta'ala, but you're being distracted, definitely being distracted. And now you think you're doing a wise thing. But in the house of Allah Ta'ala, and this is the behavior, can you imagine the level of scant regard for the presence of Allah Ta'ala in His house? In His house, I invited you to my house, right? And as you come there, and you want to see the inmates of the house all naked, and I get to know, what will happen to you? You will get kicked out straight away. What's wrong with you, boy? You came here as a guest, and what's your intention? So corrupt. You come into the house of Allah Ta'ala, but with this frame of mind. And the worst thing is now, that you get everybody giving their own 2 cents. Someone is talking about the sunnah, then he's rigid. And someone talking about a relaxed life, then they say, you know, see. So you get different class of people, everybody is giving their 2 cents. You know, see, on yourself you must be hard, on others must be lenient. So now that means you're sitting and playing a phone, all that's alright. That's what that person will misconstrue it. So you're not in a place, you're not in a position of advising. Understand that you're not in that position. This is how it's going to be misconstrued. He'll say, no, I must be hard on myself, and others must be relaxed. So he's playing the phone in the masjid, looking at porn and videos, or some type of films. He's looking in the masjid, it's alright. But you see that you get influenced. Until and unless you don't have the proper fikr and suhbat, you can't think right. You can't. But it's your problem that you want to associate with everybody, anybody, sitting this walima, that one there, you're hearing everybody's story, and then you made up your own mind. So are you subjected to the teaching of your sheikh? Or you became influenced with the ambience and the people around? You thought you were clever and you could sift out information. But I ask you, are you guiding or misguiding? Leading or misleading? What was supposed to be overwhelming your mind is their guidance. Because you have an understanding that they have got this from their elders. And their elders got it from their elders until they reached up to the Sahaba Kiram, who reached up to the Khulafa, and the Khulafa reached up to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But you want to apply your own mind. When you want to apply your own mind, then you have to take a very long cut. You can't reach quickly. Because your mind is all in a turmoil. But you can't say now that the crowd or the people brought about this turmoil. You wanted it also. Otherwise you would have avoided this. You can see now the way they're thinking and the way they're talking. I don't fit in this thing yet. So let me just keep myself away. See, again, Shaitan will come, but now you don't keep yourself too aloof, you know. What people think? You are a loner. You can't mix. You can't socialize. See, why do everything for the safety of your deen? I ask this question to people repeatedly. What was the exact reason for the Muslims to move over to Habash and Medina Munawwara? Ask yourself, what was the reason? What was the reason? The only reason was the safety of your deen. Because the influences here were very bad. Being tortured, persecuted, and every day is a new trial. So now they want to practice Islam, breed Islam, live Islam, die Islam, right? But now these people are persecuting you. They're coming like hurdles and obstructions. Now I want Islam, I want to live with it. So move away then. Move away. Right? To a safe haven where you can practice. But in the event you can't move away to a safe haven, then create a safe haven for yourself. You, around you, there must be a haven that is absolutely safe. You are an encouragement to him, he is an encouragement to you. You are an encouragement, and he is an encouragement to you as well. But now, you know, meet with Swanya, be hard on yourself, and soft with everybody else, and you don't realize what you're talking about. You don't know how that person is going to take it. And you are giving advice. So, Tami Sabrani quotes Mullah Rum, right? Mullah Rum or Sheikh Sadi quotes. He says, the problem is today that the child wants to take the role of a father. But the child has to be developed mentally, physically. Then can he become a father, mentally, physically. He's got the sense of responsibility. Now he becomes a father, he'll dish out the right type of direction. But at that age, the childhood, he's still in his childhood. Nafs hasn't left him. Shaitan hasn't left him. And now, he wants to be acting like a father. Is he going to be dispensing guidance or misguidance? So for such a person, he must ask. Keep asking. Find out, ask. Until he's blessed with the right understanding. Otherwise, he's taking a chance. He's going to be dhalla fa adhalla. He'll be misled. He'll be going wrong and he'll mislead others as well. So I was saying that Qiyamah, one of the names is Hasrat. Day of regrets. So that sheep, that malakul maut or whoever is going to slaughter that, right? The jannatis are told, right? Khalidin, abad al-abidin, whoever. So that moment will be such a moment of excitement for the jannatis that if there was a thing like death, right? If there was a thing like death, then the hearts will explode with excitement. But we know now, hey, we are here and we are here forever. No turning away. لَا يَبْغُونَ عَنْهَا حِوَلًا. But the same will be told to the jahannamis, right? They're coming up in excitement, anxious, hey, we get a second chance, a reappeal, you know, Allah Akbar, let's consider. And now in that state of that excitement and anxiety, they are told, Khalidin abad al-abidin. You're here forever, not to be reversed. And they say that the level of the regret and distress will be such, if there was a thing like death, right, the hearts would have exploded because of the distress, the pain. So these are the things that are going to come. And what preparations have we made? So Ramadan is the right time. In fact, we start off now. Unfortunately, we didn't spend the time rightly in the year. But now we've got at least about 4 weeks or less than 4 weeks, right, for Ramadan. Now at least open up your eyes. Wake up. Wake up now, right? Before the time comes, there's no second chance. So the kafir is a perpetual regret. But for the Muslim also, for some time, there'll be some regrets. Darimi and Abu Ya'la, they've got it. For a mu'min also, for some moments, there'll be some regrets. Afterwards, it'll be sorted out. But for that time being, there'll be some regrets. Because the mu'min will think, you know, hey, this man here, he valued his time, and he's escalated to stage 1000. And I'm still playing around the state 5. I would have just appreciated my time, not wasted my time. I would have also won something. But now there's no amendments now, no changes. And then I have to be there all the time. I would have just appreciated my time and where I could have been now. So that belief also for some moments, there's going to be some regrets. And the regret is because he didn't failure to respect time, failure to appreciate time. So now we understand the itinerary, right? This is the focus, this is the goal, this is where we're going to, right? So now the question that comes after this is then, what should we do? That it must be the best preparation. You know, there's no regrets, there's no remorse. It must be the best preparation. Right? Preparation, I'm confident, I'm certain that this is the best preparation, the only of preparation. What should we do? So there must be. Allah is warning you, right? Then He'll show you how to get there. He won't leave you in the lurch, right? He's showing that this is coming and it's approaching very fast. If it's approaching very fast, then what is the nature of your preparation? This is just a probation. It's a departure lounge. What? This world, mustaqarru wa mustawda, right? It's a departure lounge. So in this departure lounge, what must I do to make it best for me? What must I do? that I don't have any regrets. Then I must say, at the last moment, you know, as I'm crossing, I show my passport and crossing. At that moment, I must say, Fustu wa Rabbil Kaaba. I won. Ha umuqra'u kitabiya. I must say, come, see my report, man, see my report. Inni zanantu anni mulaqin hisabiya. I was sure about this. This was going to come. I was certain about it, right? Inni zanantu anni mulaqin hisabiya. Fahuwa fi ishati radiya. A life of cheer and joy. But now, how do we make that a reality? What type of preparation will be most effective on that side? Now that's the burning question. That's what the concern is supposed to be. What will be the most effective thing on that end? Once we reach there, you know, no regrets, no remorse. I fully used all my chances. I've used it fully, so I've got no regrets. So all the ulama are unanimous on this, that that's taqwa. اتقوا الله إياكم ومن قبلكم أن اتقوا الله. To you, this advice is directed to you. وأولو الكتاب من قبلكم and the past religions, أن اتقوا الله. The تقوى of Allah تعالى. Can you see that? والعاقبة للمتقين. The best result is for تقوى. Can you see that? والعاقبة للمتقين. You want the best results, then that's taqwa. Then again, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. Take a provision. Allah is telling you, buy, take something. Are you going on a journey to Johannesburg? So Allah says, hey, take this, man. You know, I got the spice and all that. Hot, garam, I made it. Take it. Come out here. Something will be. You know, ladies, I say, please take it. You know where you may need it, right? So Allah is telling you in love, in a language of love and compassion, but take some provision. And I'm telling you in advance what will be the best provision is taqwa. Allah is telling you. So there can't be anything better than what Allah shows. Because Allah knows everything. Past, future, present, everything He knows. He's covered all times. He transcends time and place, everything. So He says the best thing is taqwa. That's the best. You can't find anything better than that. So now, on this path here then, the one ingredient that is required is taqwa. So then, what is taqwa? So Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu's hadith comes in Bukhari Sharif. Two things. Apart from leaving out the prohibitions. See, one is prohibitions, you left it out. Right. You also leave out the doubtful areas. What? Not only prohibitions, but there's a slight doubt, so you don't want to risk. You don't want to risk. Will you want to risk yourself? You know that a marinehood that was at Maulana Jamal Khan. I know some of you have seen. So he took part in the World War II, I think, yeah. So now he'll come here and give the whole story. Young now, we like to hear that war story. So he said, at that time, they should take the defense with sandful sacks. And we dare just put our heads up. Because we're fighting against the Germans. And the accuracy is such, you just raise your head and the bullet has got you. You can't take a chance. He's telling us, you can't take a chance. You just put up, you know, they're so accurate and they're so hands-on. You know, on the trigger, they're hands-on. You just put up, hey, they got you straight. So akhirah is not a thing you can chance with. So Allah is saying the best is taqwa. Taqwa, taqwa means, apart from the prohibitions, even the areas of doubt, by just keep out. Don't go and experiment with that. Don't ever experiment. Anything you know is of doubtful nature. Now, sometimes it's some senior people, your parents, etc. So you can't break their hearts. If you know, if you understand now how to work it out. Hazrat Ramadan used to work it out very well. He was an expert, a genius, right? But now he's sitting with people, right? And he was very, very calm, very calm, very, very gentle. I don't think you find a person so easily, gentle. So people will talk in his presence and he won't mind. All right. But the moment some ghibat comes in, حضرت سے کچھ اور بات کرو, کچھ کوئی اور بات کر لو, جسٹ ٹو اسٹے ان دا ٹاپک نو, وی ڈونٹ ہیئر دس ٹاک, بٹ ان سچ اے پلیزنٹ ٹون دیٹ یو ڈونٹ ڈس اپوائنٹ ہیم. سو ہی ڈونٹ ٹو رسک. سفیان سوری رحمت اللہ سے, ابو حنیفہ از ٹو انٹیلیجنٹ, از ٹو ویٹی فار اس, بیکاز وی مے میک غیبت بٹ ہی ول نیور لسن اور ہی وونٹ سے اوور غیبت. سو ہی ڈزنٹ وانٹ ٹو شیئر ہز ثواب ود اینی باڈی, ہی ڈزنٹ وانٹ ٹو میک غیبت اینڈ پاس آن ہز ثواب ٹو اینی باڈی ایلس. سو ہی از ویری پرٹیکولر اباؤٹ ہز ثواب. سو ہی ڈونٹ وانٹ ٹو ٹچ آن دیٹ شیکی ایریا, یو نو, یو ہیو ٹو لسن ٹو اٹ لٹل بٹ, ہی ڈونٹ. And he would say also, you know, if you were to make ghibat, then make ghibat of your mother. At least the sawab would pass into the family, you know. It didn't go to an outsider. Now this man is too sharp. You can't make ghibat in his presence, is too sharp. Because he's earning the sawab and he's securing it as well. He's earning it. It's not about only earning it. Earning it and then secure it as well. And you did so much of good work, kindness, etc. And then you got involved in ghibat. Ghibat, slander, gossip, carrying tales. Tafsir al-Masri is a hadith there. Iqra kitab. Under that verse. The day of Qiyamah, you know, the day of Qiyamah, people are seeing the books of deeds. So he'll complain to Allah, Allah, I did Umrah, I made Hajj, I did all these things, charitable works, I was kind, all that, right? But I don't see any mention in my records. Allah was saying, yes, you did all this thing here. We acknowledge the good that you have done. But you also made ghibat here, you backbite, you gossiped here, you did all this thing here. So all these things have been wiped out. See that? You know, you've got a credit balance, you've got a debit balance, right? In that balance, you don't need an accountant to come and tell you, right? Because you know, I'm causing it here. Right? You're causing it, you know you're causing it. You don't need anybody to come and assist you. But you know, money, you know, it doesn't just grow on trees, right? You know that. So you're so particular about that. But about your sawab, do you think about the credit and the debit balance? Do you think about it like that? So on the day of Qiyamah, people will come up with mountains of sawab. Mountains of sawab will come up. But then after that, when the hisab is coming into process, then everything is gone. Akala malahala, wa shata mahala, wa sabbahala. He was not careful about his tongue, about the use of his wealth, where he's earning it, how he's earning it, right? He didn't worry about all that. He didn't use his tongue right. He didn't use his eyes right. So all that thing has been depleted, all his reserves that he accumulated, all his reserves. But I do it for Allah Ta'ala and forget it. See how beautiful as Hazrat used to say it. Bhai, aur baat ko shuru kar lo, bhai. Aur baat ko shuru kar lo. Is baat se zara tangi aati hai. You don't feel comfortable with this discussion here. Talk about something else. But in such a sweet voice that you feel ashamed not to comply. He had like a natural gift of being sweet, beautiful, right? Not hurting, not slandering, not causing any type of mental trauma and disturbance. But so beautifully, let's move it off. Start off some other subject. So, this day of Qiyamah, we said, what is the most effective thing? So it's taqwa. Taqwa is, one is, I said, leave out the haram, prohibitions, and leave out the doubtful areas. Ibn Umar is explaining taqwa. Doubtful areas, you don't experiment with that. You hesitant now, is this the thing to speak about or not to speak about? Even you're sitting in an ulama's program, Abdul Haq Sahib says, but the moment you think now there's some ghibat, the ulama's program was a rahmat. But you can see now it's going on to ghibat. Now it's not a rahmat, it's now stones falling up. Well, here's stones. Can you stand that? You crack your skull, isn't it? You crack your windscreen. What has happened? So you see now this going that way now. Now you just moved out. Because this is going to crack you just now. You can see the ferocity of the crime. It's so serious. In Ramadan, when I had some opportunity to be there by the Sheikh of there, one month, maybe 10 days, and others few days. But he said, sleep as you want and eat as you want, no restriction. But just keep quiet, don't talk. Unless it's a burning need. Otherwise, you earn so much and you lose it. You earn it and you lose it. Sometimes an alim now, he is just being considerate and remaining silent, right? But that doesn't mean that he is approved of the wrong that you're talking about. He's not sanctioning it. The wrong is wrong. His silence doesn't endorse the wrong. His silence doesn't endorse the wrong. Don't think now he's silent. That was the beast doesn't. His silence endorses the act. Whatever the act is, he remains silent, they call it taqreer. So that is an approval. But after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that nobody's silence approves and endorses the wrong. The wrong will be wrong. It won't be an endorsement. See? So now, the way to preserve this thing is taqwa, taqwa haram, prohibitions, and any doubtful areas. Because, you know, it can lead there. Now I'm seeing someone walking out. Now you know, there is... You can't trust people with the dressing any longer, right? Now, was there a need to see who's coming here and who's coming that side? Was there a need? You see one pretty auntie now, and that thing got stamped in your heart. Now, to obliterate that is that easy now. That is stuck in your heart now. I think namaz, that picture is coming up again. So, what was the need for you to look at it? Now, don't experiment. Especially in this month here, now you're coming to that month. So, that's one area that we need to be very careful, wrong, and doubtful areas. And the area that we're supposed to be practicing on is appreciate every second, every moment, every second, from now to the end of Ramadan, afterwards as well, but appreciate the time. So these two things that you've got in place, inshallah, it'll be a blessing for you. Remember me and I'll remember you also, inshallah.